So I know that Matt and the rest of the board have been doing a tremendous amount of work to take care of this issue in the gym. Guys, we appreciate it. Every time I'm here, there's one of them here working on it somehow. So thanks. Let's bow together. So we just sang "Holy, Holy, Holy" to our Lord. Listen to a passage in Isaiah. In the year of King Uzziah's death, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, lofty and exalted, with the train of his robe filling the temple. Seraphim stood above him, each having six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called out to the other and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the foundations of the thresholds trembled at the voice of him who called out, while the temple was filling with smoke. And then I said, "Woe is me, for I am ruined, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." And one of the seraphim flew to me with a burning coal in his hand, which he had taken from the altar with tongs. And he touched my mouth with it and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips, and your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is forgiven." Lord, you are indeed the awesome, almighty, and holy God of the universe. And in comparison to you, we are unclean, and yet you have forgiven us because of Jesus' work on the cross. We come and we worship you for that. You sought us, you found us, and as a shepherd, you brought us home. You gave us peace, you gave us hope for our lives, and even as we live life, you give us all the strength that we need to face every situation that comes our way. You give us the strength we need to persevere, and we worship you for it this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together and worship. You can be seated, and let's start off praying. Lord, it is such a restful feeling to know that you're our shepherd, that you're there to guide us, you're there to lead us, you're there to give us everything we need. We worship you for that this morning in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, the year was 1973, and I had just gotten my first job. You know what it is already. I was a busboy at the steakhouse at Knott's Berry Farm. Now, you have to understand, this place was huge. The main dining room was probably half again as big as this room, and there were a whole staff of waitresses who each had a station of tables, and as a busboy, it was my job to do a route through the dining room and clean any tables that were dirty. So in addition to this room, there was another room that was about as big as this, and then a third room that was a little smaller. And so I had a route, and I would take that route through the bus station, through the dining room, through another bus station, through another room, and as I was taking the route, I would have my eyes open for a table that needed to be bussed. As soon as I spotted one, I sprung into action. I went to the nearest bus station and I got a cart and I rolled it out and I started to bus the table. First thing were the napkins, the cloth napkins, and then the trash went into the trash bin. Then we did the glasses and they went in the top of the tray. Then the dinner plates, they went in the next plate. Then we did the smaller plates at the bottom. Then we collected all the silverware and put it up, wiped the table off, wiped the chairs off, put the chairs back into place, checked the floor to make sure it was all good, and then on to the next table. And I learned that working hard actually gave me more job satisfaction than being lazy. Although some of the busboys had an art, and they would find the little niches that they could hang back in so that nobody knew that they were not working, and they would hang there. And so frequently I would pass them on my little route. And, you know, I was energetic. And they'd go, "Man, calm down, you're making us all look bad." So I worked hard. Unbeknownst to me, every year, all of the waitresses, and there were probably 40 or 50 of them on staff, would vote for the best busboy of that year, 1974. Thank you very much. I'd like to accept this award. It says Knott's Berry Farm Busboy of the Year. This was a huge honor because it wasn't the bosses who were giving me the award. It was the waitresses who were giving it to me. And as a result of this, the bosses took notice. And I was promoted from a busboy to what they called a host or a dining room manager. Now, I'm the guy who has the menus and who says, "Party of three, right this way, please." And I would seat people. Anybody who had a problem with their order, I would take care of it. And I would supervise the busboys and the supply boys. Now, this was great because I knew where all their hiding places were. So I would walk back in and say, "Hi, guys, there's a table right over there." Oh. So I was tested and approved. And as a result of being approved, I was rewarded with a promotion. We're going to see this morning in James chapter 1, turn with me, that just as enduring the job of a busboy and being approved and then rewarded happens in life, so God, when he takes us through trials and we endure the trials and the temptation, it brings God's approval and ultimately God's reward. James chapter 1. Now, we've been working our way through James here, and he's been talking about trials. He started off by talking about having joy in the midst of trials, because those trials produce endurance, and endurance produces the work of maturity in our lives. Then we saw if we lack wisdom, well, we need to ask God, and he gives us wisdom on how to handle the trials. And last week we saw that one of the trials that they were going through had to do with poverty. And so he says, "Hey, listen, let the poor man, the brother of humble circumstances, see life through God's eyes, glory in his high position. And let the rich person see life through God's eyes and glory in his humility. Because everything that he has is going to pass away, and the only thing that's left is what God has rewarded us with for our lives." Now, James is going to move back to trials in this context, and he's going to talk about perseverance in trials. Let's look at verse 12. "Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, for once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him." So the first thing we see here is, blessed is the man who perseveres under trial. So the one who is persevering under trial is blessed. Well, what does it mean to be blessed? Some people have falsely translated that word as happy is the one. It doesn't mean happy. Blessed means that God's favor is coming upon us, and it usually includes some sort of a benefit that's flowing into our life. Just listen to, it's found in the Old and New Testament. Just listen in the Old Testament, Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. And what will be the result? What is the blessing? Because he said, blessed is this person. And he will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and in whatever he does, he prospers. That's the blessing. You remember Jesus when he was preaching on the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5. He says, blessed are the poor in spirit. What's their blessing? For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn. What's their blessing? For they shall be comforted. Blessed are the gentle. Why? For they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, because they're going to receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, he's going from blessings that we might receive during this life, and he's going to end with a blessing that we only receive after we die. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. To be blessed is to receive some sort of positive recompense from God, some sort of approval because of the condition of your heart or because of your behavior or because of your perspectives. It's not the same as happy. It's possible to not be happy in the middle of a trial and yet still be blessed. We saw that when we talked about joy. It's possible to have joy, not be happy, but have joy knowing that the difficulty that I'm in the middle of, which I'm not happy about, is going to produce something good for me in the future. And so he's operating on the same premise here. One commentator says, a person who is blessed may not be happy at all, for our emotional state may and will vary with the circumstances of life, but we can be assured that whatever those circumstances, if we're enduring them with faith and commitment to God, we will be the recipient of God's favor. So, somehow, blessings are coming our way. Why? Because we're persevering. He says, blessed is the man who perseveres. Now, this is a throwback to the first passage in James. The word persevere is exactly the same word that we see in verse 3. Let's read verses 2 and 3. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. That word is the same root word for our word here in verse 12. Blessed is a man who perseveres. It's hupomeno. It's to bear up underneath a load. And the only difference is that in the first part of James, it's a noun. He's saying, if you go through these trials, you're going to get this thing called endurance. And in verse 12, he says, once you have this thing called endurance, you're going to be enduring. It's a verb. Blessed is the person who endures Because he got that thing called endurance, now he's enduring. Blessed is the man who perseveres. So James is tying all of this together with these words that he's using. Blessed is the one who is doing this thing called enduring. My middle son played hockey. Of course, we were living in Canada, and that's what they do in Canada. I was a baseball guy. I knew nothing about hockey, but I learned a little bit as we went along, and I would get up at 4:30 in the morning, drive Jason all the way to University of BC, and in one of the rinks there, and he would have a practice early in the morning. And I would sit there in the stands and watch him practice, and one of the drills that they had was what they called lines. So they would start at the red line, which is equal to the back of the net, and they would skate as hard as they could to the blue line, that's halfway to the center, and then back again, and then all the way to the center line, and then back again. Some of you are nodding. And then all the way to the next blue line, and back again, and then all the way to the other end of the ice, and back again. And the coach would blow the whistle every time they were supposed to start. So they'd get to the whole thing and they'd get to the very end, and off they'd have to go again. What was happening? They were building this thing called endurance. Well, why were they doing that? So that when the game time came and they had to be skating back and forth on the ice, they could endure. They would have the stamina. They would have the perseverance that they needed to be able to play this game. James says, blessed is the one who perseveres. Well, who perseveres under what? Verse 12. Blessed is a man who perseveres under trial. Now, here goes James again. He's using a word that he already used in verses 2 and 3. Let's read 2 and 3 again. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. So he's using the word that he used at the beginning. You're considering it joy when you encounter trials. And remember, trials was the word for document. It's a Greek word that we get our word document for. And remember, we had a diploma that was a document that said, I passed the test. And James is referring back to that again here. The basis for blessing is endurance during those tests that are going to document my faith. You see, I can't have my faith documented unless it's tested. Don't even know if I have faith or not, unless God tests it. So what does it look like to persevere in a test? Not giving in to the temptation associated with a circumstance or a trial. So let me give you some examples. When I'm gossiped about, I don't gossip back. Instead, I bear up under the trial. I persevere. When someone gets aggressive and angry with me, I don't blast them back. Instead, I bear up under the trial. I persevere. When someone slanders me unjustly, I don't respond in kind, but I bear up under the trial. I persevere. When finances are difficult, I don't cheat on my taxes. That's kind of relevant these days, isn't it? But I bear up under the trial. I persevere. When grief over a loss seems to just be too overwhelming to handle, I don't turn away from the Lord. But I bear up under trial. I persevere. And one that might become more relevant as time goes on, when I am persecuted for my beliefs, I don't buckle, I don't compromise. I bear up under trial. I persevere. And the apostles and the disciples were examples of that. Andrew, the brother of Peter, was crucified, but he wasn't nailed. He was bound with straps to an X, and he was hung alive for 2 days. And while he hung there for 2 days, he preached. He exhorted the people who were passers-by. Bartholomew was martyred by being skinned alive and crucified head down. James, the son of Zebedee, not our James, he was beheaded by Herod Agrippa. And his accuser, this is great, his accuser saw James' courage and was converted to Christianity. And they were both beheaded at the same time. James, the son of Alphaeus, was martyred in his early 90s by being thrown from the pinnacle of the temple at Jerusalem and then stoned. Thaddeus, who wrote the book of Jude, was martyred by being beaten with a club and crucified while on a missionary trip to Iran. Matthew preached the gospel in Ethiopia and was killed for questioning the morals of the king. He was stalked and killed with a spear. Simon Peter was crucified upside down at his request, but because he didn't consider himself worthy to be crucified the way Jesus was crucified. Philip, said to be tortured, impaled with iron hooks in his ankles and hung upside down to die. Simon, crucified in Britain. Thomas, thrust through by a spear. Mark was dragged to death. Matthias was stoned and beheaded in Jerusalem. The apostle Paul was beheaded by Nero. And our James, who's writing this passage, after repeatedly refusing to deny his faith in Jesus, was thrown some 100 feet off of a wall. He survived the fall and was beaten to death. I guess he followed his own example. He practiced what he preached. Malicious pursuit, persistent threat, unspeakable atrocities and pain, and yet they persevered under trial. And despite their final pain, James says they're blessed, because blessed is the man who perseveres under trial. So why is the man who endures during trials blessed? That brings us to the second point. The one who perseveres in trials will be approved. Now, there's a twofold blessing he's going to talk about. He's going to talk about approval and reward. He's going to talk about approval and then the reward that comes as a result of it. So, he starts off by saying, you've been approved. James does it again. He does it for a third time. He's throwing back to the beginning of James, where he's talking about considering it all joy, and he's using the same word, one of the same words again. He says, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. So the trial is the difficult situation, but the difficult situation is providing a test, which is this documentation of the passing of the test. So I've got this difficult thing happening in my life, which I should consider it joy, because I'm getting benefit from it. And James is saying here, when you persevere, you get this documentation, you get this approval from God. Once we've been approved, documented, the first part of the blessing is the documentation, the approval that comes. But I got to tell you, sometimes it just feels relentless. Lord, I'm being tested again. You're giving me another difficulty to go through. I just got done with one. And here we go again. I'm getting tested again. And God is saying, yes, but this testing is ultimately going to give you this approval from me because your faith is strong. So when I was learning to drive, my dad taught me how to drive. And this is where the fanatical part of my father was beneficial to me, because my wife is smiling and nodding. The fanatical part of your father, yes, I know that. It was beneficial to me because he was really picky about how to drive and what to do. And so we'd be driving along, and we'd be driving down a residential area, and he would say, okay, tell me where you're looking. Okay, well, I'm looking kind of in the yards to make sure there's no kids playing, there's no balls that are going to come in my direction. I'm looking underneath the parked cars, underneath their wheels, to see if there's any little feet behind the cars that are going to dart out. And that's a good one, because I did have that happen one time. I saw little feet, I slowed down and stopped, and a little kid ran right out in front of me. I would hit him if I hadn't been looking under the cars. So he's constantly drilling me about these things. I remember one time I drove my family to Sears. I had my permit, 15 and a half, and so I could drive with Dad, and he had me drive everywhere. So we were going to Sears, so I drove. 64 Chevy Impala, we pull up, park. We're walking through the parking lot towards Sears, and Dad says, so did you lock the car? And I stopped. I said, yes, I locked the car. He said, great, come on, let's go. So we walk a little further, and he stopped again. He said, now, you sure you locked the car? And I said, yes, I'm sure I locked the car. He said, okay, good, let's go. So we walked a little bit further, and we got into the door of Sears, and we're starting to walk, and he stops, and he says, now, you're absolutely positive you locked the car. I said, yes, Dad, I locked the car. I know he did. He said, fine, go turn the headlights off. Relentless testing. But you know what? Saved a kid's life by looking underneath the wheels. And it's rare that I forget to turn the headlights off. Especially because they're automatic now and they have dingers, but you know. God is constantly in the process of testing us and documenting us. You have a driver's license, that's a document. When I was 18, I took a school bus driving course. I passed a test with the highway patrol. I was a school bus driver. I got diplomas for going to college. I got a master of theology for going to seminary. These are all documents. I got a document here from the waitresses at Knott's Berry Farm, which I will never get rid of. That's what God does. He documents us. He tests us. And as a result of the tests, we get approval. The first time I was ever documented, I was 10 years old. And Dad said, if you want to hunt with me, I got you a nice little 20-gauge single shot here. You're going to have to take a gun safety course. So we went to the gun safety course. It was on a Saturday and a Sunday, and I was sitting in the class, sitting in the front row, and of course my dad had taught me what I needed to know before we even got to the class, but I had read all the books in preparation, and I had listened to my dad, so I'm sitting in the front row, and the instructor gets up and he says, okay, he says, I need a volunteer. Young man, come on up here. Well, I didn't volunteer. He just called me up. So I came up, and I'm standing next to the instructor, and he's got a 22 bolt action. So he hands it to me, and he says, there you go, hold this, son. He says, it's not loaded. And he proceeds to talk to the class. Well, Dad had taught me, as soon as the gun touches your hands, you're responsible for everything that happens. Doesn't matter who handed it to you. So I took the bolt, and I pulled it back, and I was going to pull it back to verify that it was not loaded. And as I'm in the process of doing that, the instructor puts his hand on my shoulder. And he says, "Son, I'm the instructor of the gun safety course, and I'm telling you that gun is not loaded." And then he starts to talk to the class again, and I pulled the bolt back, and I looked inside. There was nothing in the chamber, and I put it back again. And he stopped talking, and he looked at me, and he said, "Well, I was going to use you as a negative example, but now I'm going to have to use you as a positive example." And then he proceeded to preach to the class, "It doesn't matter who hands you a gun, you're responsible for it. The first thing you do is check to see it's unloaded." Now, my dad remembers the story completely differently. He remembers the story that I did this, and instead of complimenting me, he remembers that the instructor said, "Where's your dad? Good job teaching him how to do it." That didn't happen. I know that. But as a result of that class, I got a little card that I had passed the safety course. And I got a little patch that my mom sewed on my hunting vest. I was documented. I had been tested, and I was approved. Friends, this is what God is doing when he's testing us. He wants to give his pleasure. He wants to give his approval. He wants to give his blessing. And so even though it may seem relentless that he's constantly testing you, this is the reason. So what flows from the approval? Well, the third thing that we see is the one who perseveres under trial will be rewarded. Now, James is talking in verse 12 about a reward in heaven. He's not talking about a reward on the earth. We're going to see that in a minute. But the reward he referred to in verses 1 through 3 is a reward for now. Remember, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Remember, the reward in the first three verses, or four verses, is maturity. That's something we experience now. As we endure, we get more and more mature. As we get tested and approved, we grow. We mature on this earth. Benefit that we have in this life. But here, he's talking about maturity in heaven. Do you remember when Paul is talking to husbands, and he's telling us how we should love our wives, and he compares it to the love that Christ has for the church? And sometimes we focus on, well, this is an exhortation to the husbands, but just as I read the passage, think about what he's saying about Christ and us, the church. Husband, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water and the word. Why? So that he might present to himself us, the church, in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that we should be holy and blameless. That's the goal that our Lord Jesus is working towards in our life. All of the maturity that's being developed as we walk through this life, through the trials and tests, are ultimately going to be completely perfected when we're in heaven with him. So in verse 12 here, he's talking about a purely eternal reward at the culmination of Christ's coming. We receive the documentation, and the reward is, verse 12, the crown of life. For once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. This is an eternal reward. There's only one other time in the New Testament that this phrase, crown of life, appears. And that's in Revelation 2, and it's talking about persecution. Listen to it. Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Well, those aren't good words to hear. Behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison so that you will be tested, and you will have tribulation for 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. See, the crown of life happens after we die. James says it clearly. He will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Now, this crown that James has in his head isn't the crown that you're thinking of right now. You're thinking of a king's crown. That's not the crown he has in mind. He's thinking of the wreath that an athlete would wear after he's won a competition. Corinthians, Paul says, everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. They then do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable wreath. Romans, for I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. You know what this tells me? It tells me that no matter what happens in my life, no matter the trials, no matter the pain, no matter the repetitiveness of the tests, no matter the malice or the persecution or the threat, I have the crown of life waiting for me when this life is over and I pass into eternity. James says, blessed is the man who perseveres under the trial. For once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. It's hard sometimes to persevere, isn't it? The older we get, the rickety our bodies get. Probably this year has brought some difficulties into your life, and maybe you kind of feel like your dad's teaching you how to drive, and it's just relentless testing and approval. There's a story that's told about a great composer and pianist, Paderewski, and I can't verify the veracity of the story, but it goes like this. He was giving a concert, and a mother had brought her 10-year-old son to the concert in order to encourage him in his pursuit of playing the piano. So they sat near the front, and she sat down, and he was mesmerized looking at the platform and seeing the great big Steinway piano up front on the platform. And as the mom was talking with some people around her, unbeknownst to her, he slipped away, and he walked up onto the platform, and he sat down at the leather-tufted piano bench, and he began to play the only thing he knew, chopsticks. And the crowd started to jeer. They started to scold. Whose boy is this? Where's his mother? And the mother turns around and, to her horror, sees her son on stage sitting at the piano playing chopsticks. But before she can do anything, Paderewski comes out from the back. He's got his coat, he's grabbed it on the way because he's heard the commotion and he surmised exactly what's happening. So he grabs his coat and he's putting his coat on as he's making his way across the platform to the young man. Doesn't even button his coat up, comes in behind him and starts to play the bass line, and then starts to play something with his right hand, a running obbligato is what it says here. And all the while he's playing, and he's improvising, and he's embellishing what the young man is playing, he's whispering in his ear, don't stop, keep playing, don't give up, Let's keep going. Play the next verse. Keep going. That's what God does to us. He's got your back. All of the testing, all of the pain, all of the difficulty, He has engineered it to develop me, to develop you. And all the while, He's saying, blessed is the man who perseveres, Dave. Don't stop. Keep going. I've got your back. Let's pray. Lord, only You know what everyone here is going through and what the trials are in their lives and what the trials will bring for the year to come. Thank You that You have our best interest at heart. Thank You that You never give us more than we can handle. Thank You that You always give us the strength to persevere. And I pray that You would tune our perspectives to remember that no matter what happens in this life, no matter even if our life ends like one of the disciples or the apostles, we have Your approval and Your reward if we persevere. Thank You for that, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.